The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
The goodness of obedience. So turn your Bibles, if you have your Bibles this morning, to chapter 6. As Jerry said, we're going to close up. We're getting close to finishing it up. I just chose the first four verses, and I called it the goodness of obedience. Oh, the goodness of obedience. I know no other church like ours has this great obedience, don't we, church? And like Jerry says, I'm lying. Who likes to be obedient? It's hard to be obedient. No one likes to be told what to do. Obedience is a key ingredient in our walk with Christ, but it's one of the toughest. There's many other ingredients to be a strong, good Christian, but obedience is one we need to work on. Amen? So we'll get right into the text this morning, and I want to show off like my new tennies and shirt, my glasses as well. I don't want to read the PowerPoint no more. I want to read from the Bible because they tell me, Frank, why do you carry your Bible if it's on the screen? So I'm going to read from the text. My Bible is a New King James. I believe that's an NIV version. So I don't know what versions you guys are reading. Here it goes. Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is going to be a tough message. It stepped all over all my toes and my fingers at times, but I'm going to share it. And it's on the goodness of obedience. See, this message is not only for parents, but it's for children more than anything. If you're a son or a daughter in this room, raise your hand.
You all should be.
Maybe some of us, our parents are gone, our parents gone, but we still have a parent, a father. His name is Jesus. Amen? And oh, the beauty of our homes, all the perfect obedience that takes place. I believe I have a picture of that, the next slide. Do I? Yes. The perfect home life of obedience in Christ. Wow. Look at the sweetness of that photo. That reminds me of my home. I grew up with four brothers, four sisters. I'm kind of like almost smack in the middle. And boy, we had a lot of these moments as this picture illustrates. Look at the mom, man. Geez, she's trying to do her part. My hat tipped off to you moms and some of you single moms and fathers as well. It's a lot of work to teach your children obedience. But it's our goal because to love God is the outcome of obedience. We as parents naturally want our children to obey and honor us. Of course they do. Some of our children and teenagers sometimes hate our guts. But a lot of times because we want to direct them in the right way. We don't want them to be a statistic like some of us lived, speaking for myself personally. I wouldn't want my children to grow up the way I did. So we try to instruct them. And talking about this growing up, my two beautiful daughters, Stephanie and Valerie, one of them asked me, don't speak about me today. So she shouldn't have told me that. She's here today. Stephanie is a very special daughter. She's my older daughter, one of my older daughters. She was tough. She was tough bringing up, but she taught me a lot. See, as I raised these two beautiful girls, Valerie and Stephanie, mom would have me pick them up at their daycare centers after school. And the little one, Valerie, she was always smiling, big smile, always happy. I'd go pick her up. She'd run to me, run in the car and get in the back seat, put her seatbelt. Man, Valerie was on it. But when it came to pick Stephanie up, oh boy. The teachers wondered, are you her dad? I mean, do we call the cops? Who are you? No. Because Stephanie's like, I'm going to go with him. She was afraid. I don't want to go with you. Come on, get in the car. Thank you, teacher. I'd walk away with a big smile on my face. Stephanie was afraid. She only obeyed her mom. She knew who to obey. Mom instructed her well, you know, to be careful. But me and mom were kind of still dating. We weren't Christians, of course. We didn't know the Lord. And I'd go pick her up, and she'd send the bag as far as she could to the corner of that seat and buckle her belt and sit back there. She like, if I was going to take her to kidnap her or something. But lo and behold, as Christ came into our lives, as Christ came into our homes, it wasn't perfect, but these two girls started seeing the change in obedience to Christ. And I won their love through the love of Christ. I didn't have much to buy them. We were struggling financially for many years, but love conquers it all. Amen? That's what it takes to raise our children, love. And the wonderful thing about this morning is God shows us how to raise our children. And some of us that are adults in this room, you're still someone's child, someone's son, someone's daughter. Some of you probably still hate it when your parents call you son or daughter. Come here, little one, I love you. And you're like 45 years old or 32. Oh, mom, I'm not a child no more. In our eyes as parents, you'll always be our children. You'll always be the apple of their eye. That's the love instilled in parents by God. Amen? So this morning, I want to start with the young ones. If you're a child anywhere from 8 to 18, half of this message is for you. And the other half is for fathers mainly, but parents as well. See, parents do not demand obedience in the same way that husbands do not demand submission and wives do not demand love. Instead, out of love for God, parents raise up godly children, children obey, husbands love, and wives submit. And we do want to raise up a generation of children, parents, and fathers who love Christ joyfully. For that's God's will. Amen? He has chosen your parents. And parents, you've been chosen by God to parent your children. And again, it's not going to be easy. But it's in here. It's in Scripture. It's in God's holy word. So my first question or first point is how to raise godly children. How do we raise godly children? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says this. Only be careful and watch out for yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your hearts as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children's children after them. This is God telling the Israelites in the Old Testament to raise those children in what? In God's word. In the wonders and miracles that God has done over and over. And you know what gets me? Is that all these thousands of years that have gone by, even till right now, present time, a lot of people, even Christians, still struggle in believing the power of God, in the miracles He has done, in the miracles He does, and the miracles He will do, including starting in the home. Obedience. He wants obedience. See, He was trying to teach people to teach their children God's word, God's power. There's nothing God can't do. Look at me, perfect example. 22 years of a drug addict. A dark, long, ugly lifestyle. And He pulled me out. He did a miracle. And He's still doing miracles. And He's still moving in my life. And He still wants to move in your life. And all He's asking is obedient. Be a good parent. Be a good child. Be obedient. There's another scripture that I always use with parents and I always use with my own kids, which is the next one. Here it is. This is a good one, folks. Listen, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Here it is. Impress them on your who? Children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down and when you're in your home and so forth and so forth. It goes on. God's always trying to instruct us through His word. This is the best way to raise children in your home. This is one of the key ways to be a good parent. Not perfect. Keep in mind, I will not say perfect. Good. Good instructions. And this leads to obedience. And no one likes obedience, and it's tough to be obedient. Amen? And I noticed something interesting in this very first verse of chapter 6 that drew my attention. What is the first word it says there in chapter 6, verse 1? Children. Paul is in a congregation. I hope you get this. I think it's the next slide, Ephesians 1. Paul is in a congregation of people. Why would he say children? Any Bible scholars here? I'm not one. I just studied it. That's the very first word he says. Get this. If he said children, guess who's in the room? Children. See, if children were in this room right now, I would just be addressing adults, correct? So God is kind of telling us, hey, it's okay to have your children in church. Nothing wrong with kids' church. I'm not knocking any churches that do kids' church. But sometimes they do need to be here. Teenagers, I'm glad you're here. With parents or not, this is where you need to be. On Sundays. Whatever you did in your week, you need to be here. Because Paul is addressing it clearly. Children. That was interesting to me. He's talking to little kids over 2,000 years ago, roughly, give or take. And the Holy Spirit had all ages in mind. He just didn't want to focus on adults. God speaks to young people. Guess what? I've shared this with you before many times when I get up here and speak. From the Old Testament to the closing of Revelation, mostly all the people God called on, male or female, guess how old they were, most of them, and it's written right there because it says their ages a lot of the times. They were teenagers. They were all young. King David, Isaac, Solomon, Abraham, they were all young. Ruth, and it goes on. God calls young people. Why? Because that's the next church from generation to generation. God wants to raise up churches, congregations that seek God, that want to be obedient to God. And today we see a lot of loose Christians that don't want to be too obedient. And we need to submit to what God says. And that's a tough thing. My toes are hurting too, folks. Trust me. I love you guys too. My toes are hurting. But this is God's word. Parent or child in this room, God is speaking. We need God's word. We don't need our teens or our young ones with watered down sermons. We need them to know the truth of what God says. Be obedient. That's what God is saying. And he wants the little ones in the church. See, obedience is a sign of growing maturity in a Christian or a follower of God. That shows your maturity, that the Holy Spirit is moving in you, that you want to grow in Christ, that you want to lead your young ones to the Lord in the ways of God and following Jesus. And you parents, the same. We're the example to them. Obedience. That's what the goodness of obedience is. You see, this is what I put, and it's so true. Sin comes naturally to us, doesn't it? We get mad like that. We want to do the wrong thing like that. We just react right away in the flesh a lot of the times. And I'm guilty. I'm no better than you. People get in my face and my claws come out. I take my Bruce Lee stance. Whoa. Well, yeah, come on then. I still got some streetwise in me. I don't know why I'm doing that. I don't know how Bruce Lee did it, but I don't know. Never mind. Then going back to my old days of dancing. So why is it so easy to sin? This is why. Because love and obedience takes work. Sin comes natural. And we should know that. Why? Because back in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of the time, sin came in. It's natural. It's in us. We're sinners saved by grace. And that's why it's tough to be obedient. See, it's already in us. It's all around us. Evil and sin is always, Paul says in another text, ever present. And that's the battle we have. But if you start being obedient to God's word, living a godly life, and really working at it, really taking the shovel and digging deep into God's word in your spiritual life, you'll see the maturity, you'll see the change. And yeah, we're going to have oppression and affliction and attacks and all this kind of stuff, but it's in here too. Jesus said it's not going to be easy. But if you learn to obey and love, that's where the changes start coming. See, I've told you this over and over. I was a very arrogant, proudful, violent man. And God saw that. He said, okay, Frank, I'm going to give you up to about, when you're about 33, 36, roughly. Forget my age now. I don't want to know it. He said, I'm going to take all that rage, that anger, and how Satan has used you and it just plummeted you in your life. You're way down there. I'm going to turn all that energy you have, and I'm going to use it for my glory, and I'm going to use it for my testimony, and I'm going to use it through my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to glorify my son through you. That's where the obedience comes. And that's good that alarm went off. We need to be woken up. You see, he's waking us up. That I love that timing. God's timing is impeccable. I love Jeremiah's earthquake message because it woke us up too. Like, oh my gosh, how much did you trust Christ when it was moving? Some of us just sat there. Me and my wife, when prior earthquakes, when she was still here, we'd be laying in bed and we had live in the whole house and it'd be moving. She'd be smiling. She goes, it's okay, honey. The house is so loose, it's not going to fall. The little house was, it was already in movement. We never got up. And I understand, respect to some of you young parents, you're concerned for your children, totally understandable. But obedience, man, love and obedience go together. And that's where you start getting stronger and you get hungry to want to amplify it to your children and live it in your home. So why should children obey? Children, this is a word that's okay. Go back to that Greek word. Who are the children? It's a Greek word pronounced technon. And if you're a stepchild, if you're living with an adult, a guardian, here it is. This is who Paul is addressing. Technon is a Greek word for children, anyone living in full dependence or relying on. It could be an uncle, it could be a grandma, grandpa. The child relies on them, so you're under their authority. You see? Because a lot of kids, I've had a lot of teens, like Jerry, I did a lot of youth ministry back in my prior years as a leader in another church. And a lot of kids would tell me, he's my stepdad, he's my stepmom. I don't have to listen to them, nuh-uh. I had to find out who these children were, and there it is. It's anyone living under that authority. So parents, guess what? You have authority over children, be it step or your biological children. And listen, I'll give you a great tip. I did it all wrong growing up as a Christian father and leader with my kids. And there's a witness here. My daughter, again, Stephanie's here. She can tell you. I was always on them, hardening on them, hammering on them, always reading, making, you know, hammering them with God's word. That was the whole wrong perspective to take. You see, in your homes, parents, if your children have things they can use, gadgets, TV, whatever you have for them, tell them those are privileges that they have been given. And when they mess up, you take the privileges away. And you don't have to holler about it. You don't have to cuss at them or holler at the top of your lungs and hurt them, because that's where they get more rebellious, when you're constantly honing them and hardening them and hammering them. That was my mistake as a parent, and I testify that before the Lord right now and before this congregation, I made the greatest mistake, because my daughters and sons started rebelling and going the wrong way. Why? Because I was doing it too hard. I didn't use love. I didn't use obedience. I wasn't humble enough. I was just hard and in their face, and that was wrong. Amen? We need to show them love. We can sit down with our child and explain to them what they did wrong. Let them talk to you. Let them know there's someone and they have an opinion or an excuse. Mom, really, it wasn't all my fault. It was my friend down the street. Yeah, we know the story too. We lied that way too. Any teenagers here in the room, you can't lie to me, because I know all the stories, all the moves, and all the tricks and jokes. Well, almost all of them. You guys got some new good ones that have kind of been noticing. You guys are good. You guys are good. Just the other day, we went to the movies, and we sat, and the movie's starting. There's like 3 teenagers in front of us, and guess what one teen did? He goes to that exit door. I've never seen this. My daughter's like, this, that happens all the time. What? This kid, the movie's starting, it's dark. He opens the door, like 12 people walk in. I'm like ready to go rat him out. My daughter's like, no, Dad, don't get out. I gotta go tell someone. She held me back, and I stayed just because I love her. The movie was starting. But wow, teens are good today. They text them, meet me at the door. I'm sure I saw this phone light up. Then he ran to the door, go, oh, I got a new move they do now. If I see that kid again, I'm going to pull him from his ear and take him to the counter of the movie theater and tell him, this kid's letting people on, you're losing money. Wow, man. What kids do now, authority is out the door. Children want to do whatever they want. They don't want to listen to parents. But you know why? It goes back to your home, how you brought them up. What kind of love and instruction were you showing them? What kind of love were you showing around your wife to them? See, in my home, as I grew up, I saw a lot of drinking and partying and violence. So I thought that was the lifestyle I was supposed to lead. Till I got into God's word. This is what opened my eyes. This is what's been teaching me to be obedient. Not perfect, obedient. It's not going to be easy, and you're not going to be perfect until Jesus comes back. then you will be made perfect. Amen? So there, children, is anyone that's relying on the next word that attracted my attention in that very first verse is, what's the second word? Obey. Children, obey. Okay, I went to look for it. This is a hard one. Hoop, ak, uo. Close, I don't know. I'm not too good at Greek. This is what it means and what Paul was trying to say, to obey what is being heard. Acting under the authority of the one speaking, really listening to the one giving charge. That's what that word obey means there. And if you're a son or a daughter, that's why I said in the beginning, this is what we need to be doing if you have a parent or parents, or you're living under someone's authority, as we know who the children are. I moved out of my parents' house, but I still visit them, and as soon as I walk in their home, I still have the remembrance and the reverence because of God's word to respect their home and to do what they want. Whatever they ask, I will do my best to get it done. There's a lot of, not in this church, none of you. But we'll visit our parents, and we're pretty hard on them. We want to run them. You know, through this whole ordeal, I got to be transparent. Maybe my family members that are here might not understand it right now, but I need to say it. See, in this situation my mom's finding herself in, my dad going with the Lord, everyone's trying to instruct her and tell her how it all should take place when it's my dad's will and my mom's will, how he should go home. It's not up to the children. It's up to the person that's going to pass and the partner, husband or wife. My wife gave me full instructions 2 months before she passed away. A year prior to her death, we talked about her services. That's how strong and brave my wife was fighting this cancer. With a smile, she told me how she wanted everything, and I did it to the T. I wanted to make God smile. I wanted to do the last thing she asked me to the point how she worded it, because I wanted to please God to her. See? It wasn't what I wanted my service to be for my wife. It's what she wanted. And whatever my mom and dad want as a service, that's what it should be. And some of us can want to go control our parents. Shame on you. I'll slap you in the hand from the Bible, because God is slapping you on the hand. Amen? My toes are hurting, guys. I'm ruining my brand new tennies I'm showing off. The next word that struck my attention was right. The word right is pronounced in the Greek dikakios. Close enough. Righteous and just in the eyes of God. That's doing the right thing. To do the righteous thing. Because we're so quick to snap back. We're so quick to answer our parents, aren't we, young ones? We're so quick to think in our mind and say, oh, just give me a minute. I'm going to think of something, and I'm going to get away with this one, mom and dad. Uh-huh. I'm going to get away with this one, grandma. You ain't going to catch me. We're quick. Man, I was the biggest liar growing up. I was good at my lies, and lies started piling on top of lies, and I couldn't keep track anymore. That's how bad it gets. We don't want to be obedient. And God is telling us here that we should, and that it's good. Obedience is good in the long run. Amen? Folks, if you honor your mother and your father in this life, you're going to come to glory. It's a promise. God said it will go well with you. Not only that, you might go as far as being in a wheelchair and still becoming a remnant with a gas deal or whatever you call that to breathe, oxygen. I want to be back here in drums with oxygen. I told Jeremiah, you're not going to get rid of me until I die. If I can move my arms and play the drums, wheel me to the drum set. I'll play them. Well, Frank, we're going to give you a day off. Well, no, you're not. I'm still going to play the drums. I want to serve God till I die, man. I've told my daughters I want to be on my dying bed yelling, Jesus, I'm coming. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. I'm coming, Jesus. That's the attitude we should take, and that comes from obedience through His Word. And I glorify Christ in what I just said. I give Him the glory. I boast in Jesus. Don't let my flesh speak to you. Hear the Holy Spirit prompting and speaking. He wants you to be obedient. And trust me, I come close because I like to look at the eyes. Jesus would come to people and look them right in the eyes. Remember that poor man and Peter and John are going to the church or go pray at 9 in the morning thing. And when they ask him, can you help me? He said, look at us. They wanted eye contact. And not only did that mean, that's a little out of my sermon this morning, but I got to share it. When Peter and John told him, look at us, you know what he was really telling that old man? Look at our new life. Look at how God, what God can do. Look how he can change you and give you strength and power, no matter if you're in poverty, no matter if you have bills stacked up or you're having issues or physical issues. Look at us. Look at our new life. We know where we're going. But right now we're going to glorify God and be obedient and come in to pray at 9 in the morning. The Israelites prayed 3 times a day. They'd go meet in the congregation. I think it's 9, noon, and 3 in the afternoon. And they were that obedient. And when this man that was poor and rich asked him, can you help me? The first thing they said was, look at us. Look at my new life. We should feed off each other. We should all amplify Christ. And at every given time, at every given second, someone's watching you, be it in this congregation or in your life. What are you amplifying? Are you showing them you're obedient, a servant of Christ, when your boss is getting on you publicly or at work or at home or be it wherever you're at? Obedience is good. Oh, I love obedience, but I hate when I have to go through it. But it's good for us. Your obedience pleases God. Your obedience pleases God. And I put this, but you bring this honor to God when you disobey your parents. I'm trying to look at all the teens here or young faces I can see. You make God sad when you don't listen to your parents. And I'll look at all of you because you guys confess you're someone's daughter or child. You're someone's son. You dishonor God, folks. You dishonor God. My goal daily, not perfect, but daily, is to work on putting a smile on God's face first. How can I make my Lord smile? What can I do? How can I stay shut with my mouth to make him smile when I could have very easily just blurted out words and hurt someone? Amen? Obedience. Obedience. That's what pleases God. Why do children have to obey? Why do children have to obey? I think that's the next slide. I think. Why do children have to obey? Why? Because it's commanded. It's commanded. By who? By God. It's a commandment, folks. It's not telling you, well, maybe sometimes you should listen to your parents. Maybe sometimes you should let your children do whatever they want. No. No, it's a commandment. It's ordained by the creator of the heavens and the earth from his mouth. The one that spoke existence into this chaos of a galaxy. Who spoke into existence, you and me, as creatures. What a powerful and mighty God we serve. And all he's asking is to be obedient. He doesn't ask for much. But because of our sin nature, we struggle. We struggle. And it's in the fifth commandment. I think I put it up there, Deuteronomy 5:16. Is that up there? Deuteronomy 5:16. Here's God speaking to Moses, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long. See, he's not only being good to us to be obedient. There's the promise. Here's the promise. Live long. And that what? It may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. See, he has predestined the life before us. And the choices we make is the land we're going to conquer. And see, a lot of us wonder, why am I struggling? Why is all this happening? Why can't I get it right? Well, there it is. You got to walk in the commandment God commanded us to live in. And not only that, again, you're going to make it to that wheelchair and the oxygen tank. Because listen, folks, even into our older years, I've seen old folks still being used by God because they're professing Jesus out of obedience. I've gone to hospitals and visited some old folks. And they're Christian. They've been saved like 5 times more than me, longer. And they're praying for me at times. Obedience. God commanded it. And not only did God say it here in the Old Testament on the Mount Sinai when God was speaking to Moses, he wrote it with his hand. He wrote it with his hand to honor your father and your mother. He didn't only speak it, he went as far as writing it for us. How much more do we need to understand? As our love for Christ increases, so will our obedience. We need to honor our parents and value it before Christ. It's important to God. It should be important to us. Even in marriages and parents and children, They don't need more communication, discipline, or chores. They need to be giving their life to Christ, and we need to be teaching them more about Christ. The rules and instructions of your home come second or third. You show them God's word. You live it as well. Because actions speak louder than words. Because we can say a lot of things. But are we doing it? Oh, yeah, I'm going to serve. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you procrastinate. That doesn't put a smile on God. We need to be obedient. So how can we make all these things happen? How can we make them come to fruition? I believe it's the next slide in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said it. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. There's obedience, acting right, doing the right things. And all these things will be given to you as well. See, in this trial that was predestined for me and my wife in those 4 years of her battle with cancer, we both smiled. We had our tears. We had our pains. We had our moments. We had our slight victories, our defeats in seconds or minutes that we gave up because we were tired. She was tired. I was tired. But we never gave up. God would lift us up and re-strengthen her and re-strengthen me. She would tell you if she was here today. There was many times I wanted to call it quits. There was so much attention she needed. I almost quit my job because I was at work thinking about her. It's tough to be obedient. But through the whole ordeal, right now, my wife is basking with Jesus Christ in the presence of the angels. Amen? She's right there. And people ask me, well, do you think of her every day? What do you think she's doing? The first thing I say, she forgot about us. She's having a good old time. And that's what strengthens me because I want to go there. You know, through God's power and her struggle taught me many things and it made me a little bit stronger because I know where I'm going, but I know I have to suffer before I go. It's not going to be easy, but stay obedient. You're going to have a mansion. Not a little house, not a two-story, a mansion. Jesus is building it right now. My wife was ready, so she had to go. Guess when she passed? I think I've said it before. It was 10 till 1. She didn't miss her lunch date. They asked me, when did she pass? It was right at lunch. She went to lunch with Jesus and never came back. See, that's the strength I get because it's Christ. He strengthens me. He gives me these words of joy to express of the testimony of my wife, the testimony of life in general through Christ. And how we should live. Obedience. Amen. I'm going long. I got a lot to say and I'm almost done. So young ones, if you feel guilty when you're doing that bad thing, that's a good thing. Huh? Oh man, my mom's going to find out. And what am I going to do now? And how do I explain it? And oh, I shouldn't have went out. I shouldn't have done this. You know why you're feeling bad? It's not a bad thing. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you. And that's a good thing. And you better tell your parents, quit praying for me because more things are going to come. Because they're always going to pray for you. And you better start being obedient because you'll be found out. You're going to be found out. I was always found out. No matter how good I was at lying and tricking people, deceiving them with words. Obedience is better than disobedience because it honors God first. It pleases Him and makes Him happy first. So young ones, when you're feeling guilty, there it is. Your mama and your daddy, your guardian is praying for you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, 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 no. Don't be doing that. You're going to get in trouble. I'm going to find you out. That's good. Conviction is good. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us. Amen? But here's the good news. Every act of obedience of sin has been paid by Christ. Young ones, no matter what you've done, parents, adults, that are sons and daughters, we've done some bad things. We saw the opening video. We've all blown it at times. But it's the blood of Christ. It is His grace. It is salvation that's coming. That frees us and saves us. Like He told the prostitute when they caught her in adultery. The last thing Jesus told her was what? Just don't go do it no more. Don't go sin no more. Change your lifestyle. Be obedient to what I'm trying to tell you. That's all God is telling us. Amen? I'm going to cut it short here because it's going long. So no matter what you've done here, children, the good news is that the gospel says that all those who trust in Christ have had their punishment removed and now they're in place of a blessing. He has swallowed up all our punishment. Jesus takes the punishment of every sin, of every child who turns to him, no matter what the child has done. Obedience leads to a useful life and keeps us from living wasted lives. Children of all ages, God commands you to be obedient and do your best before God and before your parents. Now I want to get into the fathers. The fathers have a special responsibility. Verse 4, did I put it up there? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Exasperate. That's another big word. I'm sounding like a Bible scholar again. That I'm not. It means to provoke. I think I put it up there in the Greek, did I? I have it here. There it is. That's what the word means. And it's pronounced parorizo. To make angry or exasperate. How many of you just pick on your children to get them mad? Or teenagers, how many of you just pick on your parents to push their buttons, see how far you can stretch them? That's wrong. God doesn't smile on that. We need to be obedient. We need to remember the love of Christ. Dad, if you live an example of following Christ, and if you set standards high, that will be the penalty of the causes of your children being angry all the time. I said it earlier. They're going to be defiant. You need to sit with them and explain. Don't be yelling or being rude with your words or bringing other people up. Settle it between you and your son or daughter. Talk about it. Love them through the love of Christ. And I want to even add this. It's not in my notes. Some of you are single parents, mom and dad. It's okay. Psalm 68 says different. If you think you're alone and you can't do it, let's go all the way to Psalm 68. I think I put it up there. I want to jump all the way back here because it's getting late. Psalm 68, look what God says. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him. This is all about God right here, what you're doing. Single mom, single dad. Or son and daughter without parents. Who rides in the clouds of his name is the Lord and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless. There it is. A defender of the widows, those women that are alone. Is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun of scorched land. Look, I like that part. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. That is awesome. You know what that tells me? I was a prisoner in my old lifestyle, and God changed me, and I'm starting to be obedient to him, so I'm free. Those chains are broken, and Christ has given me a new life, and I can extol and praise him for it. Amen? Amen? It's our new lifestyle. That's the obedient God is looking for. And he'll set any prisoner free, no matter what charges are against you and what acts you've committed. And if you're a single parent or a child here without parents, there it is. God is there. He is your father. See, he's our first spiritual father. We all have an earthly father, but our first father is our spiritual father, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is asking for obedience. So fathers, what are we exampling our children? Are we teaching them the ways of God? You know how a child is going to know you love the Lord and that you're so in love with God and that you are a true follower? I'm not even going to look at that no more, and I'll close here. You know what works? If some of you have a wife or husbands, couples, dads, if you show your love, express it to your wife in front of your children are going to know you love God because of the way you love mama. That's the key. Why do you think so many homes are dysfunctional? So many divorces, millions of homes with just moms, and the percentage of dads are right behind it now alone. Because they amplified the wrong thing and it brought division. And I speak that from experience. I have had two prior partners in my past, and all I showed her and the child that was there at that time was everything that was contrary to God. So there was a split. We left each other. Because we weren't honoring God. I wasn't being that godly father. And it's going to bring the split. But now God has taught me and is teaching me to love my partner. When I started loving on my wife before she passed away, I believe my daughter started seeing a new dad, a new man, a different person. So they start respecting you and start listening a little bit more. Not all the way, but they'll listen. Because we still have flesh to deal with. But see, the way you love your partner in front of your children, that's how they're going to know you love Christ. See, Jesus loves the church that much. We're supposed to love our wives in the same way. As Christ loved the church, how much do you love your partner? How much are you showing affection in front of your children? I'm not saying go take it overboard, but, you know, hug her and kiss her and tell her you love her. Who cares if they're there? Guess what that's going to teach them when they go and have a partner? To love them. The highest rates of divorce right now is in the Christian realm. Christians have the highest divorce rate right now because of this topic, obedient. Obedient to Christ. That's a hard one, but it's true. The worship team comes up. I'm going to close here. So parents, be obedient. Moms, hang in there. God knows. Dads that are alone. God knows. I'm alone now, and I'm praising Jesus. God is good. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you start staying obedient. Keep staying obedient. See, the goodness, what did I put down here? Let me close with what I put. I think I put it on the screen. The goodness of obedience is a blessing for all who choose to follow Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus in this place this morning, you need to come to him and repent and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to live for you now. I've blown it. I want to live for you. And you Christians that have said that prayer, give up those little things that are making you probably divide each other or hate on each other. Start practicing the newness, which is obedience. Amen? And I'm not going to end on a sad note. I want you all to stand. We learned a new song the other last night. I don't even know when we practiced. Thank you. Last night, and I hope I don't mess it up back there. But we want to end on a happy note. Clap, jump. Make this song your prayer. You read the words. Get excited because there's a better things coming. There are good things coming, but the key is to be obedient. Amen? Christ loves you, and I love you too. Let's worship.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You